Coming up on Roundabout, a machine gun style rundown of the hottest reveals from the Geneva Motor Show. Can we get through 60 vehicles in 90 minutes? Get in, sit down, shut up, and hang on. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase, and by everyone's favorite online retailer, Amazon.com.
I'm Aaron Patek-Philippe.
I'm Joshua Heward.
I'm Stephen Toblerone.
I'm Swiss Miss Motormouth.
I'm your host, Craig Rolex.
And I'm Ben Parmigiani.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 121, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news that you may have missed.
And quite a bit you probably did, because the Geneva Motor Show just wrapped up. We've got an all-star panel and a lineup of automotive culture warriors on the show tonight, led by Mr. Bragman, Aaron Bragman, right here.
Hello.
Analyst extraordinaire.
Thank you.
We've got Mr. Ewing. He was on the show, primary source reporting, in Geneva, on the beat.
I'm not sure what time it is.
He's jet lagged. That's going to make for a good show.
No, he just doesn't know what time it is.
Of course, joining us on Skype, Miss Motormouth, Swiss Motormouth.
That's me.
And, of course, Joshua McLewis.
Hey, how you doing?
From Knoxville or something. Anyway, great show. Steven, you were there. What's the vibe on the floor?
Lots and lots and lots of cars.
Yeah.
But honestly, and I think Aaron might agree with me on this, the whole show was kind of meh.
Well, that's disappointing, mm-hmm. because we get to see all this really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. We get to see all these hot cars that, frankly, most of us over here are never going to touch. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least half, if not more than half, of the mm-hmm. stuff is never coming here.
Yeah. And some of it is so far out there, too.
Well, that's just Switzerland. I mean, really. Come on.
Four of the lenses. What the heck?
Rinspeed
makes
stuff
that... Europe's.
Yeah, Rinspeed makes stuff that goes underwater, for God's sake. I mean, which is, you know, great, but probably more useful here than it is over there.
Yeah. So the clock is ticking right now. We have 90 minutes. We've got 60 cars we have got to get through.
Oh,
so
dear.
I think we should get this show on the roadways before we squander any more time. I'm sorry. I mean, before we spend any more of our time on...
We're not squandering just being here?
That's up for debate, Michelle.
Then aren't we?
But Mr. Ewing, you want to kick things off here with the Lamborghini Aventador.
I do. Possibly one of the coolest cars at the show, the Lamborghini Aventador J Roadster, which is an Aventador...
Ewing.
Oh. And it's an Aventador, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't just take the roof off. They took the roof and the windscreens off, instead installing two little wind deflectors by the driver and passenger compartments. And Lamborghini says it's supposed to be sort of like a big two-seat sport bike. They're only building one. It's the one you saw on display, well, the one I saw on display in Geneva. And it's already been sold for 2.1 million euro.
What do you think? What do you think, Sultan of Brunei or something, maybe?
I originally had said that there's some Saudi prince who's going to be very happy with this purchase.
I think they're only going to build one. I bet you they build more than one.
No, they were very specific in saying they're building one.
I like how they can take stuff off the car and charge more money for it.
This one. Just this one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. They did the same thing with the Gallardo Spider when they showed off the Gallardo. They, you know, created this Batmobile-type car with no roof, and they were like, oh, look what we could do. And then the Gallardo Spider came out, and they were like, oh, this one's got a roof.
You know something, Josh? They did the same thing with the Bugatti Veyron Grand Sport Vitesse thing.
They did. Yep. And the Grand Vitesse, which is... Basically the convertible version of the Bugatti Veyron Super Sport, another pointless car from Bugatti, 1,200 horsepower, 8 liters, of course, quad turbocharged W16. I mean, to be honest, I'm tired of Bugatti right now. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world that there was a car that could go 250 miles an hour when I was in high school, and now I just don't care.
Now
it's
going to
look really
fuel.
Good in a swamp.
It would look fantastic fighting birds. Driving into a swamp. There's no doubt about it.
I've seen that.
But
are the birds angry?
Yes.
Pelicans are always angry. Duh.
Maybe I'm the only one here, but when somebody mentions a Veyron to me, I literally just want to smack the hell out of him, or literally punch him, because it's a stupid car.
I just remind everyone that the Veyron might seem cool, but you could never use one, ever.
No, you could never use
the tires alone.
What you could use... Porsche Boxster.
It's all aluminum now. It's got an aluminum body, 55 pounds less.
It's aluminium.
Aluminium. Aluminium. Yeah, we must, you know, as the Germans would say, it's aluminium.
I need that diet, Christ.
It has two engines, a 2.7 liter and a 3.4 liter. It does. More powerful. You can get the regular and the S, obviously. Six-speed manual or seven-speed PDK.
No seven-speed manual,
but you can get the seven-speed PDK. So,
yeah,
you can't have too much that's shared with the 911 and the Cayman. Mm-hmm. Between Cayman and 911, this is going to be basically it's convertible Cayman. Mm. So it's going to be coming
is that
to North
green,
America,
or is that like some weird yellow?
It's a really faded yellow that actually.
I didn't like that color.
Honestly, the photos didn't do it justice. It looks really, really good in person,
really?
Especially with the big wheels.
I hope so.
Under all the lights, but I'll be curious to see how it looks on the street.
Yes, definitely. Because
Porsche's got a bunch of other weird colors right now.
My theory is if it's not speed yellow, the original,
yeah.
I don't want it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think, and you guys might disagree, but I think the Boxster and the Cayman have become just the best Porsche models.
My theory is that there's nothing better in that lineup right now than a Cayman S.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the 911 is still historically, you know, one of the greatest sports cars in the world, but the Boxster and the Cayman have just become so good. You know,
they're
just
very
become
good value.
And on that note, we got to keep moving, guys. Michelle,
it's true.
Coming
we
down
do
to earth
to
a little bit further.
Moving. We have to talk about cars that we're also never going to see in the United States. Aaron's dander up some more.
He's shedding.
Yeah. So the one series cute hatchy hatch that won't ever come here. The A1, which I wish would come here. Volvo is jumping into that realm in Europe with their little V40, and I think it's really cute. Actually,
great car.
Is it? Well,
like
it goes up against like the A3.
Yeah,
I have such a hard time getting
excited
over
A3, but I really
do.
It.
Yeah. To me, there's just it's
would, in that small luxury segment. Mm. Would a Mercedes-Benz A-Class perhaps be more appealing to you?
Not especially, really. No.
The A-Class looks really good.
It looks better, but doesn't it look a little too similar to the BMW design language now?
It looks better, but the V40 for me looks like it would be more fun to drive.
Yeah, but that A-Class has flame surfacing now. Look at that. That's a total bangle ripoff.
It's weird. Well, they showed the new A-Class, of course. Bunch of four-cylinder engines, of course. Gasoline, of course. Diesel. It's Europe. They get all the fun stuff. I'm sure manual transmissions. Mm-hmm. Pretty striking new design. The grille is quite interesting. Looks kind of like a starry night sky. But I'm not really blown away by this car. I'm not impressed. I'll have to see it on the street if we ever get it.
It's just a little bad.
Who knows? Yeah.
But so, one more car we aren't going to get is Jaguar... debuted the new XF Sport Break, which is an XF wagon.
Gorgeous.
The best car at the show, in my opinion.
It is so pretty. We've said this a million times. I said this in the story I wrote about it. There is not a single bad-looking Jaguar right now. There isn't a single not-so-awesome-looking Jaguar right now. They're all really, really pretty. Mm-hmm. And even the wagon version of the XF, it's simply gorgeous, and it can fit a lot of junk in its trunk.
Remember when 10 years ago we were talking so much smack about Jag design and Jag's cars, and now
they had like the X type and the S type.
Yeah, exactly. They had basically
like
a Ford Escort with the
Mondeo
with a Jag badge on
Escort with Mondeo. That's a good title.
But the new XF, the X, everything is great looking. I mean, Ian Callum did an amazing job. But this sport break is one of the best things I've ever seen.
It's a proper Jaguar, I believe.
Yes.
I would love to see that in the bright blue.
Mm-hmm. It's a proper sport break.
I'm just ready for the XFR sport break.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Now, Josh, speaking of design, Ferrari had a showstopper.
Yes, Ferrari has something that some people are really off or on about. People like it a little bit better than they do the FF, but it is the F12 Berlinetta, 740 horsepower.
Can I just say I have to jump in here. The design to me, while it's beautiful, I think. However, I just feel like it's sort of predictable. Like we saw this one coming.
It's extremely predictable. But here's what I like about it. I like that Ferrari is now actually is. Before they were playing outside the box, but everything was ugly and still cool.
Yeah.
Now everything is pretty outside the box and still cool.
Like so many things, I love its rear end.
Yeah.
It's questionable.
It is a real, 0 to 60 in about 2.9 or 3 seconds.
Jesus.
You know, I mean, 5.3 seconds, and you'll be hitting 100 miles an hour. I mean, it's a V12 in this day and age, in this economy.
It still looks a little angry from the front view, though. That front view is a little angry looking.
I like the fact that it looks angry. A Ferrari doesn't look right unless it looks like it wants to eat a Lamborghini whole.
All right. Well, speaking of performance... smaller scale.
Yeah, we've got... You know what? Here's a car we're actually going to see. Maybe,
yes!
Probably. Not exactly in this
Ben,
form.
We need a level up.
Doom, 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 doom.
That means you didn't have the sound effect.
Oh, no. The Fiesta.
I love gold!
We're not yet to the Mansory cars yet. So the Fiesta ST.
It's not Fiestist.
It's not Fiestist? It might be the fastest. I don't know. This is the fastest. It's got a 1.6-liter EcoBoost. EcoBoost. Sorry, I always do that. The
well,
EcoBoost engine. 177 horsepower, 177 pound-feet of torque. That's not bad for such a tiny little car. We saw this in concept form in L.A. at a four-door, which makes me think it's going to come here. Why would they do it?
The preferred term is five-door, Aaron.
Depends how you count.
Is EcoBoost different from the EcoBoost?
Yes.
Yes.
Because one is pronounced correctly.
Properly. Exactly.
Who calls it Echo Boost? Nobody calls it Echo Boost. No, there's no agent. Can you really? God bless him.
Well, back to Ferrari, Michelle, out in California, appropriately named car. Did you get this for Christmas from Neiman Marcus? Isn't this the one you wanted?
No, I actually asked for the FF because I do prefer the FF. But the California has gotten a little mid-cycle refresh, and it's a lot lighter. They've increased the horsepower. And they've increased the amount of sort of customized colors that the customers can choose.
California.
I still would take the FF, but, you know, it's faster and lighter.
And more expensive, I'm sure.
Well, naturally.
With greater carbon emissions.
One has a big gold horse on the back of it.
Gold?
It looks gold in the photos.
The California is also, I don't know if it's still this way right now, but as of last year, it was the only Ferrari you could get with a manual transmission.
That's true.
All right.
Yep.
So I don't know if the 2013 still comes with a manual, but, you know, hail the good old manual. And if I ever have the money to buy a Ferrari, I will go to the factory and tell them they build me a manual or I will bomb them. So,
well, moving along, a lot of striking designs in Geneva and Pagani Huayra, however the hell you say it.
Come on now, you gotta learn to say this. Huayra Carbon.
Huayra.
Huayra.
It's Spanish, Huayra. Right?
Sure.
Japanese Huayra. Spanish.
Let's call it
all
that.
Right. This is the Japanese company that makes these. No, that's Mitsuoka. Never mind. Pagani.
Oh, man. How can you confuse Pagani and Mitsuoka?
Well, this is a supercar. It's the carbon edition, they call it. It's ridiculous looking. I don't know.
You only say that because all the pictures have the hood up and everything.
Right. Like, I mean, those pictures are...
I know. And I see Pagani Huayra Cabron, really.
Cabron.
Caballo.
It has many caballos.
Huayra is one of the coolest cars in the world right now.
It is neat. Yeah, it is pretty.
They need to
cool.
shut the hatches, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
they do.
It looks like a Transformer mid.
Is that luggage? Is that luggage on the right side?
Yeah, it is.
Like a little luggage compartment?
Anybody who can take an AMG engine and make it sound better, perform better, and go better in another car is I mean, that's got to be perfection.
Yeah.
It needs
more headlights.
Well, moving along, guys, we're burning daylight.
But here's something that's really pretty, though.
Yes.
Talk about pretty and something that we also aren't going to get, which is a shame because we used to get a version of this car a long time ago.
Is it another wagon?
It is another wagon, and it's a fast wagon. It's the Audi RS4 Avant, which is one of my personal dream cars.
Savant?
Especially the new one. It's got a new front end, new back end. It's a sexy, sexy wagon. But under the hood, this is my favorite thing. Audi has done so many new turbo engines, which they're great, don't get me wrong. But the RS4 Avant still uses the 4.2-liter V8, the naturally aspirated one, that revs up to 8250 RPM.
Mm-hmm. Where are you ever going to go?
Which is, by the way, still a relative to the old RS4.
Right, and that engine is easily one of the best engines I've ever driven.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. Between the RS4's 4.2-liter and, you know, going into the R8 and now the new RS products and the BMW V8, the S65 that's in, you know, the M3, oh, my God. Those two V8s have got to be the two greatest V8s to ever have lived outside of a
I'll give you the Audi one, but I won't give you the BMW.
You don't like the M3 V8? It sounds so reedy. It's got this great...
Sounds great. It needs torque.
I'm just... You know,
it needs torque. There's no doubt about it.
RPM red line, you don't need torque.
German V8s, to me, don't sound right.
Why?
What?
They don't. They don't sound right. They sound good. They sound good in their own way, but they don't sound right to me. I grew up with a Mustang.
Stab me with a 5-liter with a couple Flowmasters
on that thing. Hell yeah, there you go. That's what a V8's supposed to sound like. What my German friend actually once called the American fuel-to-noise converter.
That's very true.
By the way, the RS4, I do not like the new headlights that they're doing on the RS models and everything, and the Audis.
I don't like
that little single headlight with the weird line.
What brand?
Audi.
Speaking of Audi, Josh.
He said Audi.
I said Audi with the RS car.
Speaking of Audi, though, it starts with an A. It rhymes with howdy.
Hey, howdy doody. We got a new TTRS in the house, folks. This one right here has a proper sounding engine right here. I'll tell you that much right now. 360 horsepower, 343 pound-feet of torque, and it is 100 pounds lighter.
And it's available for auction.
And it's available for auction right now. Let me get a 1, 2, oh!
Tell him Josh sent you.
Down at Uncle Jürgen's Audi Barn. Yeah.
Uncle
Jürgen's Audi Barn and Fried Chicken Emporium.
What I'll tell you right now is you will get some chicken and waffles right there. I'm telling you, that's what I'm telling you right now.
So this got a 5-cylinder engine, correct?
What'd you say?
5-cylinder.
Yes, 5-cylinder. Now, the great thing about the Plus is that when it comes to America, it'll be 100 fewer pounds, like I said, and that just means that the fat guy getting into it will just be 100 pounds lighter in a sense. So now it will...
That. Hey, 100 pounds lighter.
I could lose 100 pounds just by driving this car.
It is lighter for your enjoyment, so you don't have to lose the weight to drive it better.
That's the American way.
Very few things move to this country and lose weight, so that's actually pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
Audi thought of us.
We got another Audi, the A3. Now, the one we saw there is not going to be the one we get here. It's similar, but the one we get here is actually going to be a proper 4-door sedan. An actual sedan, not this 3-door hatchback Euro thing.
Yeah, but look how cute it is.
It is very cute, but I mean, again, this is nothing terribly different than what they have now, frankly. It's not all that different.
Except they put the side view mirrors on little posts on the doors, and I freaking hate that.
That's actually kind of better for wind noise and a couple of
things. Also for visibility.
I don't care.
Well, it's going to have like... stupid. In Europe, it's going to be launched with like 15 different engines. Over here, we'll probably just get the 2-liter. We'll get the TDI. There's a new TDI coming as well.
The 2-liter turbo that hasn't been updated for like 5 years. 200 horsepower.
Actually, yeah, it's a brand new 2-liter.
It's got like 258 pound-feet.
Yeah. It's a 2-liter, but it's the same displacement, but it's like completely different engine.
Yeah, they pumped it up.
Yeah,
Audi like me now. It up.
But I'm worried that the Audis are starting to look a little too similar to each other.
Yeah, but at least if they're gonna look similar, at least they look good.
They do, but just like the same sausage and three sizes. BMW used to do.
Michelle, I understand you've got a grumpy Apollo program here. You gonna walk on the moon?
Yeah, it's enraged.
If my name was Gumpert, I'd be enraged too.
Somebody's got a bad hemorrhoid.
It's like the silliest name, right? The Gumpert Apollo. So German supercars—they're really race cars that are street legal. I mean, they're incredible, but they have Audi-sourced engines. There's the Apollo R and the enraged version that they showed at Geneva, and I don't even know what to say about these. There's
one. One needs ointment.
Yes. It's got some...
That would be inflamed.
Yeah.
You know, it may be ugly as hell, but thank God it's fast and expensive, you know?
I mean, it looked great in a movie, I'm sure.
Are those the taillights from the Tesla Roadster?
Look at that one photo. It says Gumpert on the butt.
I mean, they say it has so much downforce it could drive upside down, though.
Sweet. Like the Men in Black
that's,
car.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Great for circus use.
Well, they say that for the past few years, Gumpert has been saying that they've been trying.
Sorry,
to actually,
what?
What did it say on the engine cover? Pure German. What?
That's how you say the name, Gumpert.
Ben, can you go back and see what it said on the engine
cover?
Can
we talk about not
it
the Gumpert?
One more.
It's Goomper.
One more.
Pure German speed.
Pure German speed.
Speed.
Speed. That's awesome.
Pure German speed.
Just remember. Not great. 4.2 liter Audi sourced V8. Styling that makes you literally just poop in your pants.
It didn't make me do
an
that.
Literally, Josh.
Sorry. An interior that is not evident in any way. But it's one of the coolest cars in the world right now.
Yeah.
It's cool.
What about the Bentley, Craig?
Speaking of cool, Bragman, you've got it. The Bentley Mulsanne Mulliner.
And for quote's sake, it's the Mulsanne Mulliner.
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 So it looks like another expensive Bentley from Crewe.
Not the most offensive Bentley at the show, my man.
Now, we'll get into that in a minute, sir.
You're raising his dander.
Dander's
again.
Up.
Just saying.
Getting his goat. So what have we got here? Another expensive car. Flying B. 0 to 60, 5.1 seconds for a big honking land yacht.
Huge honking land yacht.
It's That's like the Queen Mari.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gouging
Still,
its way.
I'm trying to sorry.
I don't understand this car. What's
still one of the coolest cars to do a burnout in?
The Mulsanne?
Yeah. Just a special edition.
I would.
I don't think there's much to say about it.
Yeah.
So anything
with a Bentley tag. Awesome.
Something that's going to be available in the States.
Who decided to do this one? I'm not surprised.
Oh, I have such a special place in my heart. It's the new Mini John Cooper Works Countryman, which is the lovely and pretty awesome Mini Countryman, but with the bigger JCW engine and sportier treatment.
Have we figured out how to pluralize that yet?
Countrymen's.
Countrymen's?
Countrymen's.
Countries man? Is it like attorneys general?
Grand Prix.
Yeah.
No, the Mini Countryman. Mm. But John Cooper Works treatment, 211 horsepower, 221 pound-feet of torque with overboost.
Shut your mouth.
Power going to all four wheels via all four. And I must say, having really enjoyed the Cooper S Countryman, the JCW Countryman should be just really cool.
That's what Peugeot ridiculous engine. Price do you think they're going to charge for this?
Exactly, the $44,000 Countryman. Yeah.
I'll say this. You could probably top one out close to $50,000.
Oh, my
God. That's what I was going to say.
Because you can top out a Cooper S Countryman in the low 40s.
Oh, my.
So this will probably hit as high as 50.
Jiminy. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that you can literally double the price on the Countryman.
$50,000.
You can get a $50,000 Cooper if you want.
It's
a base
roar.
Or you can buy a used S4.
Can you say grossly overpriced? That's how you spell Mini.
Actually,
grossly.
Well, it's a Mini.
For the price of a loaded Mini Cooper, like fully loaded Cooper S, like JCW.
Yeah.
That's about what I paid for my M3.
Yeah.
All right, back home, what's next on the list? Joshua McLewis.
The Ford B-Max, a car we'll probably never see.
What's going on?
It's a kind of like a small minivan version of the Fiesta, which makes it a little weird. That means it would actually be a bigger Fiesta, but just in minivan form. And unfortunately, we'll never see it because it's actually cool and good for you. Meaning it would be good on gas. It's not going to be the typical ugly, horrible minivan. And it would probably come in a diesel, a couple different diesel platform or engine forms.
I saw one of these in Chicago.
Look at that. No B pillar.
Really? That was an S-Max we saw.
Yeah, we saw the S. No, the C-Max.
What is it, S?
C-Max. C-Max.
The one outside of the hotel, Michelle?
What did I take a picture of?
That was an S-Max.
It was Smax.
That was the biggin.
That was the Smax.
See, I want the C-Max to come here.
C-Max is coming here, but not the grand C-Max.
I wish we got the grand C-Max. Those sliding doors
C-Max
were awesome.
The C-Max isn't coming here anymore.
We're getting the regular C-Max, not the grand C-Max.
We get the regular C-Max, and it's only a hybrid.
It's called the
hybrid
Lane-Max.
And plug-in hybrid.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, what's next on this guy?
Well, under the things of really cool people haulers that we're not going to get here is the Chevy Cruze wagon. And you know why? It's because Americans don't like wagons.
Can you
know
imagine?
What, America? Here you go, America. Start buying wagons.
Can you imagine? Just imagine this for a minute. So they're putting that diesel engine into the Cruze Eco.
Yeah.
Cruze Eco D. Cruze Eco D wagon.
I mean,
God.
Would anyone buy a Jetta Sport Wagon TDI again?
No.
No. Especially not the new one, which got the cheapo interior.
Unless you like check engine lights.
And cheapo interior. But, I mean, it's basically a Cruze with 57 cubic feet of room when you put
what
the rear seats down.
What is that in liters?
5. Yeah. I don't know. I never was very good at metric conversions. So,
Cruise is a great car, and a wagon can only be better.
Cruise is a wonderful car. I just had one a couple days ago, an LTZ, and it's a every time I drive one, I'm reminded how fantastic the Cruise actually is.
Here's where I don't get it. The Cruise is definitely a nice car.
Yeah.
But the Focus is much nicer to me. Also comes in a 5-door platform.
The Focus is better looking, but I would say that the Cruise is actually mechanically a better car.
The Focus is better looking. The Cruise is the one that I've actually done this now. I will recommend to people.
Yeah. I've also hesitated to actually recommend the Focus myself because the problems I've had with it.
Exactly.
And the Mi4 Touch thing.
It's not just the Mi4 Touch. It was the power shift, which they've had to reflash. The Mi4 Touch has been updated. Yeah. That's the thing is the Focus. The Cruise was great right out of the barrel. The Focus, they've had to just refine and refine and refine again. And it's still just not...
And it's pricey.
Yeah, but okay, remember one thing. The Cruise came out... I mean, they've been developing that car for 2-3 years on the auto show floor and behind the scenes before anybody
it's
ever...
It's been for sale in other parts of the world for a full year already before it got here. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Focus was just a totally new revamped car for the whole world.
Yeah.
So, there's the difference. You know, Ford, sure.
Still not excusable.
They've had to tighten things up.
That's still not an excuse. You don't use your public as your development fleet. I mean, that's
old
work.
Detroit.
That's true. I understand
Tesla.
That. Yeah. I just don't
think Fisker.
I just don't think that the Cruise it's a nice car. I just don't think it's the right Chevy in that segment.
The buying public seems to favor.
Disagrees with me, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know.
The another time when Josh is wrong.
When it comes to
how about that? Who knew?
I will say he's wrong.
After the show where Josh and I argue the Chevy Cruise.
All right.
Wait, what?
Special
bonus
thing.
A little different.
Yeah.
Michelle.
Have something in Espanol.
Ay, Dios.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, Dios mío.
How about a V10 that I think is pretty darn sexy? It's the GTA Espanol.
Michelle, how many liters in that V10?
How many liters? It's an 8.3 V10, and it's very. I just think it's really nicely designed. It doesn't have like this huge gaping maw of a front grille, because it kind of pushes that off to the sides, right? And I love the way that looks.
It's very
different.
It's got like the smart. What is it? Trinity cage or whatever.
I gotta say, I don't think I like this.
This is me in car form right here.
Defective?
Again, I mean,
being nice.
Oh, come on. Can I just see myself in a mirror differently than everybody else?
He has body dysmorphia disorder, or whatever it's called. Dyslexia disorder, where you see yourself differently. No.
How many cars have we done, Ben?
I've lost count, but we're nearing 60 minutes left.
Let's do another one.
Shall we? Who's next?
Craigie, it's your turn.
Let's go. Next up. The 2012 Volkswagen Polo Blau GT.
Blau GT.
Jawohl.
Oh,
177 PS, 40 Meilen pro Gallon.
Meilen pro Gallon.
777 horsepower, 40 miles per gallon. They're sporty Polo model. I don't know what the gallon would
be. No, that's the... That's
the Polo GTI.
That's the Polo GTI. Which is not this
Polo
one.
GT.
This is 50 miles.
The Blue GT.
Pardon me.
Blue
GT. 1.4 liter TSI inline 4.
Diesel.
Blue GT is capable of achieving up to 50 miles per gallon thanks to direct fuel injection and cylinder deactivation on a 4-cylinder.
Gott in Himmel.
It's a little bit of a piece of plonk, though, when you look at it after the Spano.
Well, yeah.
You know what, though? I really like the Polo. I really wish they'd bring the Polo GTI here. Because the Polo GTI is supposed to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice-looking, small, affordable hatchback. Mm-hmm. We're never going to get it. But
I don't know that I'd say never. It depends on how gas prices do. And
I think that we will probably get the Polo at some point.
I think
but
so
not
too.
Polio.
I hope so.
Not Polio, no. But the Polo built in Mexico, I would think that they'd ship that up here to compete in that subcompact segment. Something smaller than Golf.
Mm-hmm. Imagine this car on some back roads, just screaming through some back roads.
Mm. It's got
that'd
TSI
be so much fun.
Technology.
I don't know that it screams.
The GTI is supposed to be just really.
The engine would scream. The car just isn't going anywhere. It's just, it's
you're screaming as the semi behind you is about to push you off the road. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You're hurling it around a corner, but you are hurling it. It is like hurling and ralphing all over the road.
Speaking of ralphing, the new Lexus.
Speaking of hurling and ralphing, have you seen the 2013 Lexus RX?
Yeah, I have for the last 5 years.
Yeah, RX is ralphing extreme.
It got a facelift, and that did not go well. I don't know. It doesn't look terrible. It's got the new spindle grill like every other Lexus. But
I don't get that name, spindle grill. What makes like it a spindle? I don't understand.
We wrap the cables around the indent.
It's spindly shaped. That doesn't look any different than the current
one. It doesn't. It's got little LED running lamps now. But what they're doing with the RX is they've given it the F-Sport treatment.
Oh, well.
Which means it gets a big old gaping front end and some dark wheels and some dark...
Because that's what soccer moms are looking for.
It's, you know, just sort of another RX.
Its face looked like just...
I'm sorry. We have reached 60 minutes left.
60 minutes?
60 minutes.
That's not the intro.
Oh.
Anyway. Let's move on.
Yes, next
car. I know, Josh, do you have an egg to talk about?
Next car.
I do. I have the Koenigsegg Agera R, and it's matte blue, and it's beautiful, and we'll probably only get three here. And it's awesome. So
there you go. So it's blue and it's awesome. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, it comes with, guys, back it, off.
That is pretty
it's
cool.
1,140 horsepower when a tank is filled with E85 ethanol gasoline, for those who really don't care about ethanol.
Corn juice.
What does the corn have?
They got
to
that
say
down there where you're at, right? Yep.
We had a little bit. 273 mile per hour top speed, they say, is coming out for 2013. It is a sexy, sexy car. I mean, it is gorgeously ugly at the same time. It's awesome. It's one piece hollow carbon fiber wheels. Carbon fiber wheels.
God, I'm an aversion to carbon fiber wheels.
I mean, triplex suspension setup co-developed with Olitz Racing.
Oh, we'll swallow something. Let's see.
So this is puts the badass in badass set. Then,
Josh,
you're
do you need some alone time right now?
I do. Anybody got some tissues?
Oh,
well, I'll need them too because frankly, I'm going to cry over this next one.
Volkswagen,
the Volkswagen Golf GTI Cabriolet. Now, you know, full disclosure, I have a GTI. I have a 2010 GTI. I have this model in the hardtop form, I guess you could call it.
And in the real top form, you mean?
This would only make it better, in my opinion. I mean, a little bit.
You mean so the handling was a lot worse?
Squishier.
And the body
maybe a bit squishier. But no, it depends. It depends on how they handle it. I mean, if they handle the bracing right and they don't make it too much heavier, this would only make a great thing better, in my
opinion. I think this makes it worse.
Ugh.
I do too.
It ruins
I agree
the
with
styling.
You.
What do you know from styling? Look at that. It's beautiful.
I like the little. It ruins the styling. It's ugh. Just. It's a little too.
Hello, 1994.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I see
yeah.
that and no, think Sunfire.
This is a Butch Eos.
I was just about to say, I see it's a Pontiac just, Sunfire so, in this. Yeah.
Look at yeah. the alien. Look at that. Look at the grill, the honeycomb grill, and it's a Butch
it's,
Eos.
It's just so
that's
twinky.
That's all awesome. On
this
the
is, it's got plaid seats, for God's sake.
Oh, my God.
This is Demena Eos.
Am I the only one that's deep? Tired of DSG
no.
at this point?
Whatever. Demena Eos.
Oh. People that can't drive stick aren't tired of it.
Ow.
I just don't like DSG. I don't think it's a good gearbox.
I would actually agree with you. I had a DSG in my 08, and I gave up to go back to a manual.
It sucks. It's like, it's just like...
Got issues.
Even the Volkswagen. Oh,
the Volkswagen was the one I had. It was buggy. It was kind of hesitant around parking lots. It would pogo a lot if you're doing just crawling around.
I had a Beetle Turbo with the DSG, and the car was actually pretty good, save for that stupid DSG gearbox that just sucked.
All right.
Anyway.
Hyundai made a showing at the show.
Hyundai.
They sure did. And, you know, I do love a good wagon.
I'm seeing they rolled out the here.
But Americans don't like wagons.
Yeah, it's the Elantra Touring. So, but it looks good. I mean, as many Elantras as I see around here... I don't know if it's like that where you guys are, but they're a ton. I think they sold like 32,000 units last month.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
That's
and so
nice.
A new Elantra Touring is just going to, I think, will do really well.
It would.
I think it looks too much like a minivan from the back.
See, here's the thing, though. This one isn't the Touring. This is what I've had to explain to people before. There's
no.
Explain me, Steven.
There's the i30, which is what we're getting is the Elantra Touring. And then there's the i30 wagon, which is a bigger version of the i30.
That
so
might
it's
be
the Vanny version.
Is this an Apple product? I does everything have to have an I prefix?
Yeah. In the rest of the world, yes.
No matter what,
this is a more capacious Elantra Touring.
No matter what, this is an ugly vehicle.
Does it have the bodacious, bootalicious behind?
It absolutely does, Michelle.
Does the steering wheel fit in your hands?
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. Well, I don't think we've had any French cars on the list yet, have we?
Piss
me off.
Pugot brought a new product there, the 208. It's available as a 3 or a 5-door hatchback, believe it or not. It's going to be have a couple engines to choose from, a 1-liter 3-cylinder with 75 horsepower, or you can opt for up to a 1.2-liter 3-cylinder with 100.
Whoa.
Ooh,
you can handle it. It's not much exciting.
It's pretty French-looking, meaning weird.
So now that GM and Peugeot Citroën have gotten together, is this going to be like the new Opel Corsa?
Union makes no sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
Does GM not have enough problems, especially in Europe? They need to now go get involved with
French problems.
The only sense it makes to me is that if they take, if GM starts buying the engines that the PSA and BMW make for the Cooper.
Why?
Because it's a good motor, and GM could use it.
Yeah, but GM's got a lot of motors, and their new ones are pretty good.
Now, is a motor the same thing as an engine? Because I keep thinking it's
Let's not go there. Let's go to Mitsubishi.
Let's go to another crappy car.
Did they call this the Ausländer?
First of all, before we get into the car, I would just like to say Mitsubishi wins the award for having the most, like, Las Vegas Hard Night Strip model working their booth.
Booth babe.
She had a rough night.
Her name was Candy.
Her Candy with an I dotted with a heart.
What the hell kind of dress is she wearing?
But it's weird, though, because that oddly enough
nicely relates
to the Mitsubishi Outlander.
You're any shorter in the world as your gynecologist. Look at that.
The Outlander is... will someone just hire Mitsubishi a designer, please?
That looks like the old Suzuki XL7.
Yeah, it looks absolutely horrendous.
That's awful.
Which is more attractive? The legs on her or the actual Outlander?
Well, I think I know why they brought her in. People to visit their booth.
Right. It's just, And you know what's sad is the current Outlander, or at least right before they gave it the Lancer's big
tiny
grill.
Tires.
The current Outlander is a pretty good looking little thing.
At least she's sitting in the trunk giving everybody a hello.
Yeah, don't worry about the car. Just look at the
Look
model.
At my boobies. That's all anybody was there to see.
Anyway.
Joshua, BMW M3. I'm surprised you picked this one.
I wish they would just make a road-going version of this car just so we can have it just to... Even to just caress or hold in our arms. I don't care.
Are we still talking about the Mitsubishi, babe? Or what are we...
Josh, are you lonely?
I'm talking about the M3 DTM. This car is gorgeous. This car is amazing. 480 horsepower from the 4-liter V8 that I have in my car.
It looks like a 0 to 60
in about 3
seconds.
Better
like a NASCAR.
It has been my dream since I was like, I don't know, probably in my teens, to see BMW go back to DTM and absolutely just kick butt all over again.
I mean,
the floor.
I love the M3 and I love DTM cars, but this is just sort of, I don't know. It's cool. Oh,
dude, I want this as just,
You know what else is cool? You know what else is cool, man? America. America.
Team America.
F yeah. And here we go, man. This is the Fiat 500 America.
Which
we ain't going to get because that wouldn't make no dang sense to have it over here. I mean, it doesn't make much sense to have it over there. I mean, every day is America over here. Usually when I go abroad in places like that, you don't advertise that you're American necessarily.
Well, it speaks for itself.
Personally, I don't. They automatically assume. But you do try and keep it quiet sometimes. Apparently, though, not unless you live over there. You can live over there and paint American flags all over your little Italian mini car. And so that's what they've done. They painted American flags all over their Italian mini car. And that's it. That's all it is. It's just some flags on the mirrors and some wheels.
You take it to a steak restaurant.
Erlenberg special, y'all.
You'd have to get barbecue.
All they're doing is they're just trying to make the Italians aspire to just a slightly better economy than theirs. That's all they're doing. I mean, what exactly are they going to call this? The Fiat 500 Canadian?
The Berlusconi edition.
Yeah, exactly.
The Berlusconi edition. It comes with the babe from the Mitsubishi booth. Yeah, yeah, actually. Anyway.
The Fiat 500 Athens edition.
There you go.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, oh. Comes with a Molotov cocktail.
Michelle, what is the rotting roadster?
The rotting roadster is got the innards of a BMW, and it's kind of a two-tone hell on the show floor. I think I don't really like the black and red myself.
Is that carbon fiber? Well, sitting there.
I don't think that is carbon fiber. I think it's just two-tone ugly. Oh. But it is. It's a little six-cylinder that they're going to make. Supposedly, at least 23 of these little guys.
23.
I'm not sure why they came up with that.
Nice round number.
Sort of.
The machine's going to break after 23, boss.
We might be able to push it to 24, but I don't know.
No promises.
Right? Bob is going on vacation that week, so I don't know if we can do it.
I mean, it's a cute little roadster. And
not cute, actually.
It would be cute if it was the same color.
I think
if it was all one color, it'd be attractive.
No. The panel is divided.
It looks to me like it rotted away while it was sitting there. I mean, it just is like...
It is carbon fiber. Look at that. That's carbon fiber.
So is your phone, Aaron.
No, that's fake.
No, that's fake.
Now,
no, that's fake.
I've got to say, and I think most of you can agree with me on this one, I like the idea of a inline six with 320 horsepower, 332 pound-feet of torque.
Then why'd you buy the V8 M3?
Well, no. 2,090 pounds with over 300 horsepower and 332 pounds of torque.
You could carry this in your pocket.
You could carry it in your pocket.
That would be very fuel efficient.
A Mazda Miata with a BMW motor? Oh, my God. Give it to me now.
Yeah.
Well, before the break, we got one more, right?
We do have one more. Thank you for keeping things moving here, Aaron. Another Audi.
Happy
part. The A6.
Aaron's like the X-Lax of the show.
Yes, he is. He's the soluble fiber. He just keeps things moving. It's like a Brillo pad for your innards. Audi
nice
A6.
Nice old champagne.
Yes, you could say that. Audi A6 All-Road. What's it get? It's basically an A6 Avant. Get some plastic body cladding. 2.5-inch higher ride height. I'm not sure what that is in millimeters, but I'm sure it's more.
55.
Why not? 55!
I was waiting for that.
You know, the all-road idea, they've Pontiac-ized.
It's driving
these whoa.
They Pontiac-ized. They put these flat, you know, panel...
They're not ribbed. Come on.
No, they're not, but they could be.
They're not going to fall off.
No, but come on. They ruined a perfectly good-looking A6 wagon.
It's still pretty
Oh, wait, nice. Is that an A4 or an A6? I can't tell. It looks the same.
Either way, you get a choice of three diesel engines, 204 horsepower, 332 pound-feet of torques.
Pounds feet.
You can get one with 313 horsepower. Mm. Just try that on for size. You can also get the 3-liter.
That's 302 more horsepower than Michelle's house.
Really? You're right.
True that.
Touché.
Supercharged 3-liter inline six. 310 horsepower. Looks like a fun car. Will we get it in America?
No, because we get the A4.
What's the panel's opinion?
Probably.
You think?
Yeah, I doubt it, because the first A6 All-Road didn't work very well.
Yeah, the 2.7 liter twin turbo V6.
The first All-Road actually developed quite a fanatical following. Mm-hmm. People who
it
have
did.
It
did. It did. And then the following were the ones that kept the ones that were falling apart. So there you go.
So they need new ones.
Well, guys, we are at the halfway point of our marathon here. We've got another 30 cars coming your way right after the break, but hang on, because we've got to take a quick commercial interlude to thank our friends at Amazon. After that, we will hook another bandolier of bullets up to the machine gun and keep firing away, all with Josh McLewis, Rabbi Jewing, Aaron with two A's Bragman, and Mashesha Naranjo. They're all going to be around here. I mispronounce her name every time, Aaron. Naranjo, Naranjo.
I know, right? Something like that, yeah.
She doesn't mind, though, at this point.
I don't care.
She's flushed the anger out. Anyway, we got to thank our friends at Patriot Financial Reverse Mortgage Program.
No, not this week.
Not this week. Amazon.com. Perhaps you've heard of them.
Does that mean you owe them money now?
Amazon.com, proud sponsor of the Roundabout Show. We're asking you to help us out. If you're going to purchase something from Amazon, and they've got literally millions of products available on their site, from the Keurig coffee cups that you get, Michelle, for your coffee maker, to all kinds of other products, automotive and otherwise, that we featured right here on Roundabout. There's anything you could want on there. And Ben, I know you are a very loyal Amazon shopper.
Very much so. I am an Amazon Prime member.
Optimus Prime.
Primo.
Oh. Yes. Wow. Which means free two-day shipping. It is quite
getting
a deal.
There in the world.
What a deal.
How do you like it?
I love it.
So what are some of the things you purchase on Amazon?
Video games.
no, tell me. You're not buying this. Games? Can we get the Colonel's voice, please?
Video
What's
games.
What's the most embarrassing thing that you've bought on Amazon, Ben?
I am not.
It's a hernia belt.
I bought it for Al. Give me a break.
Anyway, all kinds of stuff
Son
you can
of a
get.
Bitch.
Sorry, Al. Didn't
nice.
Mean to break you.
Nice.
Millions of things on Amazon. And we're asking you, the next time you go to purchase something from Amazon, you think of us. Go to roundaboutshow.com. You'll see a banner ad for Amazon right at the top of the page. If you click on that, you do your shopping like you normally would, we'll get a little bit of credit for driving traffic to Amazon. You can help us out, and we would appreciate that. So, Aaron, the next time you're buying, what do you buy on Amazon?
Big bucket of sand.
Next time you buy a big right. bucket of sand
yeah.
on Amazon, go to roundaboutshow.com first. Help us out. Every week we like to highlight a product that is available through Amazon, and this week we've got a doozy. It's the desktop warfare kit, a little mini wooden catapult.
That is so awesome.
You can get a trebuchet. You can get a ballista.
Are you sure it's not a trebuchet?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You can get a trebuchet, Ben. These are separate. I know you're an ex. You have a master's degree in medieval siege techniques.
Whoop. Absolutely.
Technology. Wow. You were a member of the
I have the
club.
Instructions on how to make one of those.
Oh, you're going to start bombarding
well,
one?
Well, now you don't need them because you can buy
I can just
one.
Buy one. It's so yes. much easier.
It's eligible for Prime, Craig. I'm clicking buy right now.
Load that shopping cart. Load that shopping cart.
How big is this? This thing, this catapult thing. I mean, is it
13 inches by 3.8 inches by 2.1 inches, and it's 12 inches.
And it will make a zinger out of a Reese's Pieces.
I'm just wondering what the largest, you know, capacity
object.
Yeah, there are, payload. Really.
There are so many. Never mind.
You can't put a baby on it.
And on that note, Stephen,
let's just play back that whole.
We thank Amazon for their support of the Roundabout Show. And we ask you again, one more time, roundaboutshow.com first. Before you go and buy anything from Amazon, help us out. Just click on that banner ad. That's all you got to do. That's it.
Ready at Amazon.
Could not be simpler.
Meanwhile, the taco's clicking.
Taqueria. I'm going to have some taqueria.
We're at 42:35.
All right, Stephen, tee us off. Right. We're on the advanced ladies' tee box. Hit it out of the park.
Well, Kia went and blew its seed all over Geneva.
Really? Really, Stephen? Way to keep it classy, yeah, Stephen.
No, but this, actually, speaking of classy, this is classy. It's the 2012 Kia seed.
They're spilling their seed, right?
That's C-E-E apostrophe.
I guess it really is their own fault. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's the Seed, which is their new C-segment hatchback, available in five-door and wagon versions, like the Hyundai i30, which we talked about earlier, and we learned. Anyway.
You mean you lectured?
Well, maybe you learned.
Personally, though, my first thought when I saw this was, wouldn't this make a great Kia Forte?
Mm. Yeah, you know what? Mm-hmm. I could agree with you there.
Wouldn't that make a great Forte?
But what would be better than a Forte? An Aston Martin?
Play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
What? Zagato.
Zagato?
Sorry, I was swallowing water here. But what would make a better is something called a Zagato. Sorry. And this is a car that I want badly. It is beautiful. It is sexy. It's neat. It's incredible. And it's the Aston Martin V12 done by Zagato. Or as Jonathan Ramsey on Autoblog called it, the Red Baron of coupes.
Mm. Did you know gorgeous. Manfred von Richthofen had 80 air-to-air victories during the First World War?
Did he?
He did.
I did know that, actually.
This is one of the rare, actually attractive Zagato-bodied vehicles that I've seen.
I have never seen an ugly Zagato.
Sometimes they get weird.
Yeah, sometimes they are a little little strange.
The only problem I see with this car is that it costs 330 Great British pounds.
Ooh, that's like $15 million.
It is aluminium and carbon fiber. It is fibra, and it's not coming to America, most likely.
Well, talking about British cars that have very interesting styling, or at least one that hasn't changed in 50 years or so.
British accent for this one, please.
Well, no, actually, British accent has to come for the next one. This one's still kind of concept-y. This is the Morgan Plus E. It's basically looks just like your average everyday ash chassis Morgan. However, it's all aluminium, I guess we have to call it, aluminium, and it's got an electric powertrain, basically. Now, only cranks out 94 horsepower, but 221 pound-feet of torque, and because it only weighs 2,700 pounds, they're saying it'll get you to 60 in like 6 seconds or so, with a top speed of 115 miles per hour. So basically, it's a Tesla Roadster built by the British.
Slower.
Well, I guess the Tesla Roadster is built by the British, isn't it? But I mean, designed by the British as well.
This one's made out of trees.
Timber.
No, actually, so
wait,
aluminum.
Okay,
no,
wait
trees.
A second. Does that mean if it's a
trees.
Tesla Roadster
like
done by the British, does that mean it's going to fall apart even more?
It's going to get dry rot. It's very rainy over there. Damn.
Just make sure you're home before it gets dark. There you are.
It doesn't actually it doesn't actually get bricked. It just doesn't go anywhere. Just, you know,
the lights blink a few times and then, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of British, Michelle, you've got a UK connection here too.
I do. And that is the little Lotus Exige S has gone a little topless. They've taken out the little moonroof, put on it looks really good, I think, as
that's
a Roadster.
Yeah,
that's a pretty car. So
it's
probably a real handler still. I'm quite certain.
The nice thing about this, the new Exige, is that you can actually see out of the back slightly.
I still can't fit in it.
Still got a Toyota engine in the back.
You want one of them Exiges?
Exiges.
Is that Ellis or the Esprit?
Lotus. Lotus. Esprit.
Oh, the Evora.
The Lodi.
Mm-hmm. Evora.
All right.
So anyways.
Next vehicle, more practical. We have got the Dacia Logi.
Thank you for saying that, right?
That one.
Is that right?
Well, Dacia, anyway.
Dacia.
Oh, if you're top geared, the Dacia.
Dacia.
Look at this sad
thing. It's like
thing.
A miniature. What do you mean sad? It's practical. People can actually afford it, Steven.
No, it's not even sad. It's just like this is
just depressed.
It looks like it's been aborted, like, before it even got there. It's just,
dear.
It's horrible.
It's like, not that bad. It's a minivan-type vehicle.
I see Nissan Quest in the front end.
It's not that bad if you're Ray Charles.
Better looking than Quest.
I've seen better looking rears on a baboon.
It's just so sort of
minivanish, bland, Eastern European.
This one's just a little less red on its boute.
It's Romanian.
Designed by Ceaușescu. And this is like one of the practical vehicles that's shown at the show. Somebody will actually buy this and use it.
Good for transporting your children.
Like the Toyota Matrix of Europe.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Really interior though.
It's a low whole grain.
Did they
bread.
Pull the interior out of the last generation Chrysler or one of the Jeep?
Yes.
Like Compass.
That's from the 1980s.
That IP looks like it's straight out of the last generation Compass.
That's from the 1986 Dodge Caravan, believe it or not.
Caravan. All right, but enough of that. A very popular car next. Smart. Fortwo.
As you all know, I have a particular love for the Smart Fortwo.
Fortwo.
But this is somehow worse than the already painfully
horrible,
horrendous Smart.
Are you offended?
I'll say this. Okay, this car is in one way better and in one way worse than the standard Smart. It's better because it's the EV, which means it gets rid of that godforsakenly terrible drivetrain. However, it's the Brabus, which means it's all flary and bulgy and black and green, and here's the thing is when we were leaving the show. We were done with the show for the day, and we were walking back to the train station. And in order to get into the train station, we had to go under this giant banner for this car, the Brabus EV. And then when we walked into the train station, there were people handing out earplugs for the Brabus EV so we could hear what it's like to drive an electric vehicle. And on the second, the last day of the show, I took the earplugs from the lady and I yelled something involving a word that starts with F and threw the earplugs into the trash. And that is exactly
how
I feel.
Did you get arrested by the gendarmes? You didn't recycle them?
No, it was way after. I said thank you to the ladies. I said thank you very much. And then the Brabus.
Whoa.
It's just Loot stupid. That. And it's going to be so expensive, and they're not going to sell any.
I'm kind of curious as to whether or not it's using the Tesla powertrain.
Stupid people are going to buy them.
I don't know which is more homely and ugly, the car or the girl showing it off.
She's fine.
She's fine? This is just, oh, my God. I don't know which would have the worst powertrain. Oh, my God.
Clearly the smart.
Not qualified.
can we just get more cars that have that transmission that wait 13 seconds before they shift?
Hey, Josh, what is wrong with an overbite?
Does the Lotus have that transmission, Josh?
Well, no. It's got something that's even more amazing. The Evora GTE in carbon fiber for F1 edition. Now, it definitely does have a little bit of a sharky overbite thing. But it's got LED little running lamps that I could care less. It's lighter. It's faster. 444 horsepower from the supercharged V6. Overall weight reduced by some 200 pounds.
Wow, that's
200 pounds.
Out of a Lotus.
444 horsepower and 200 pounds less. Like, this is like the perfect theory for sports car. Hello, is the world listening? We don't need all this crap that you keep adding to a car that makes it, you know, get better gas mileage. Take the weight out. Hey, fatty behind the wheel, eat less McDonald's.
Can I get an amen?
Oh, amen.
Lotus.
This is a cool car. That is awesome. I'm sorry, Lotus have been doing it right still to this day. You can complain and jalopnik me all you want about how Lotus is not doing it right, but I don't care. That is good looking.
Is that a chocolate milkshake?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm eating my McDonald's. But you know what? If you happen to be fatty and you happen to be
Lord Bragman, please.
We have the new Rolls-Royce 2012 Phantom Series 2. This is a complete departure from the previous Phantom. No, actually, it's not different at all, is it? It's
got
a striking new front end, which I assume striking means you're able to strike pedestrians and Rolls-Royce will pay for it. So, not a problem as long as it doesn't disturb who it might happen to be driving around.
Wait,
The only big difference here is it's got an 8-speed automatic transmission.
May I read you a quick note about that front end?
From
Rolls-Royce's very verbose press release.
Well, he looks slightly less piggy, as it doesn't have those
round
things.
The new front end, and I quote, perhaps best encapsulates the essence of the significant changes that lie beneath.
Right. Well, anyway, it says here striking, and like I said, maybe if you've struck a pedestrian or something. It's also the coupe and drophead coupe models have the 8-speed automatic transmission as well.
Is a manual available?
A manual what?
Manual labor.
Yes, it's a manual. You can read it as you're riding in the back of the car.
Is it like sitting inside of a cow with all the leather?
I've never sat inside a cow before, but presumably, yes.
Is anybody shocked that BMW were dumb enough to put Goodyear Eagles on this car?
Did you say use
He said BMW
plural?
Were.
And he did it with Lotus, too. I let it slide.
Yeah, he said they.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, as
BMW
in
were.
Because
BMW
there are more than one
he
of
was,
them.
He was merely getting into the British spirit. BMW were daft enough to put Goodyear Eagles on this car.
Excuse me for speaking and writing in proper English.
The proper Queen's English, yes.
BMW was dumb enough to put some Goodyear Eagles on this car.
All right, well, we got to keep moving along. We've got a Volkswagen.
Well, right, so we can talk about another coupe. And this is a little Volkswagen Cross Coupe that is now a diesel hybrid plug-in. It's supposed to be quite quick. So it's pretty cute, I have to say. It's a compact crossover.
It's Tiguan-sized, right?
Give me the front end, throw the rest of the thing away.
Yeah. The thing is if it weighs as much as a Tiguan, it's not going to go very fast.
It's like a BMW X6 for people who can't afford an X6.
Right.
No, but this better is looking. Better looking. And I like the X6. I think the X6 is good looking. This is
what?
Better looking.
What?
Ugh.
I think
Next.
We'll probably get the Honda Fit.
I was just going to say, Nissan have developed an Honda Fit.
An Honda Fit, is it?
Yes. Ooh, the Nissan Invitation concept, which literally looks like freaking Honda Fit. Mm. So if you've seen the Honda Fit, you've seen this next car.
And it's, okay. And it's by invitation only that you can actually go and buy one. And nobody will buy one.
So, all right, ready? I'm going to blow your minds. Mercedes-Benz debuted the 2012 Grand Edition of the CL-Class Coupe, which is celebrates 60 years of S-Class Coupes. And they've taken a CL Coupe, and here's what they've done to it. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
It has new wheels.
Ooh.
And a badge that says Grand Edition on it.
That's it?
And it has a bunch of like
is it like
options,
a dealer
like
package
AMG
or something?
Sport package. It basically, I went and shot this car myself at the show, and I walked around the Mercedes stand for about 10 minutes looking for it. Ooh. Because I thought it would be on a stand or there'd be something or be on stage, and then I saw the white CL sitting there, and I said, you know, I wonder. And I leaned down and looked at the little tiny badge below the front wheels and said, oh, that is the Grand Edition. Interesting. And
there
shot
it is.
That one.
Well, as if the CL isn't. Ridiculously expensive enough. I mean, you can now have yours for about 5,000 euros more, ladies and gentlemen.
Holy do.
Yeah. Moving on
Speaking
to a car that's actually good. The BMW 6 Series Grand Coupe. Not the Grand Coupe. Not the Grand Coupe, but the Grand Coupe. Or the Grand Coupe. Now, this is obviously the BMW title fight against the Mercedes-Benz CLS, the Audi A7, Porsche Panamera, Aston Martin Rapide. But the only problem is those cars are actually better.
No.
Well, the back end, everything about the car is good looking, except when you go to the back doors and beyond.
Wait a minute. You think that face looks good? Seriously?
I think that face does look good. Yeah, I do.
This is,
I like
looks
it.
Like the 6, and the 6, frankly, now is one of the better looking BMWs.
It's better now. The last 6 was absolutely awful.
It was awful.
To look at.
Yeah, but
this
actually
is. This is not better.
It looks better in 2 doors.
No, this is better looking. The back end, though, just looks disgusting. See, you couldn't have done something
better. The back end, I think, is what looks best about it.
It looks like every other BMW.
Dude, that should have been like the A7 and the Panamera, where they did it right. They
did
made
you just call
a
me
hatchback.
Dude,
he did. Where's my car?
Sorry, young gentleman.
Master Ewing.
Look. If you want to talk about cars that look like crap from behind, Bentley.
I noticed you're driving a Yaris.
Bentley. Bentley has come out with the EXP 9-stroke F.
Well, you see, the difference here, Aaron, is that it doesn't just look like crap from behind.
Here's where we're going to have words, Stephen.
In a British accent, please.
I like this thing.
What?
It needs a couple tweaks. And actually, somebody did do a couple tweaks to this thing. Online, one of my colleagues from the UK sent me a link to a picture.
Right.
Where actually they've photoshopped a little bit, cleaned it up a little bit, they took away the stupid wheels, and now it looks better. Look at that.
It still looks...
No.
It doesn't. You know what I see here? And what I see here is a 1961 Bentley Continental S1.
No,
I can see the cues. I can see the cues and the fenders.
Okay,
I see the great big lights, the big stately presence. It is. Yes, it's a Canyonero. It's a Bentley Canyonero.
But take away that new one looks better. Take that away. But this, the concept with the giant every awful
The wheels are abhorrent. They are really awful.
And
it needs to tone down a couple cues, but I like what they've done.
Here's the thing, which I think would almost make it look better. See, my impression of this thing was that it was going to be huge, just a big SUV. And I expected it to be like Range Rover in height and just presence. And then you walk up to it, and then you realize that it's Cayenne platform, and it's shorter than you think.
It's a little stumpy.
But it's wider, and it's just...
I am kind of disappointed in the fact that it's a fastback. It does not look like an SUV from certain angles.
It looks like hell.
I wouldn't go that far.
No,
I agree with Steven on this one.
Everyone agrees with Steven. I'm the only one in the world I learned this morning that actually doesn't think this looks like just ass.
Hell.
Oh, God. This looks like... This is beyond hell at this point. This is just so ugly. This makes the Aston Martin Lagonda look good.
Yeah.
I admit the rear taillights.
And that's bad. That's
what,
bad.
Now what, I got to ask, you mentioned a moment ago your a colleague made some changes.
Yes.
What updates did they do? And is that something our panel may like more?
Well, no. the picture he sent me has got new wheels.
Did we discuss this if you were paying attention?
It's got the wheels. They took those big stupid fog lights and made them more continentally.
But what did he change on it?
Not much.
Never mind.
I don't know where you're going with this.
I'm just being a jerk.
Next!
Michelle, BMW.
Well, next, we have the BMW. I have to get this clear here. I am not a fan of the X6, but...
Me neither. Good for you.
I think the design is absolutely ugly. But I think as an M edition and a diesel, I might learn to kind of ignore the ugly design.
I like it.
Are you being attacked by something, Michelle?
No, I'm
personally I'm personally a fan of the X6. Number one, it's not necessarily the greatest. Oh, cute puppy. It's not necessarily. Sorry, I just looked at the webcam. It's like, oh my god.
ADD watch.
The X6 is one of those vehicles that if there's any vehicle that should give you confidence in BMW's ability to engineer a good car, it's the X6 because there is And listen, here's my reasoning. There is no reason why a car that big and that ridiculous should drive as well as it does, especially the M. It is
amazing.
Like, the X6 M is blow your mind away good to drive.
I can't
get past
the way it
looks. And with how big and heavy and awkward it is, the fact that BMW can make that into something really spectacular from behind the wheel
gives me X5.
Yo, give me $65,000. I'll make something pretty spectacular, too.
I had an X5 35i as a press car, long time ago. And I have a set of back roads near my house that I kind of drive to evaluate, you know, different parts of the cars and whatnot. And I had taken my dad's 09 Z06 there way before I had the X6. And I drove it around and, you know, I'm cruising through these back roads. Took the X6 there, was able to achieve in some parts of the back roads similar to the same speeds that I was able to achieve in a Z06 just because of the amount of confidence I had in the vehicle. And the fact that in some areas where the Z06 was scary, the X6 was a beast. It was perfect. It just it should not be as good as it is, like Steven said, and it is one of the best driving cars in the world currently. It is, plain and simple.
Okay. Well, on that note,
and the fact that it's an M with a diesel motor? Oh, that's just heavenly.
Hi,
right.
Craig.
On that note, we've got...
Hi, Craig.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Cross.
Huh?
Why does everyone have to be named Cross? Why is everything named Cross now?
Why can't
they're trying to go back to Jesus?
It should be the crisscross.
No,
don't cross me, Aaron.
If there's one thing the market needs, is more crossovers, right?
Mm, sure.
So that's what Nissan has, a curiously styled, kind of bland crossover.
It's the next Murano, okay?
Murano.
Yeah. It's just it is. That's
it going to come in a cross cabriolet?
I hope so.
Yay!
So it's got a 2-liter direct injection gasoline engine with an electric motor, hybrid drivetrain here. You can also get a 2.5-liter engine, 4-cylinder. What are you going to do? Pretty snoozy. Not impressed by the design. It's another bland 2-box crossover. Have we
it's
not?
It's a running sneaker.
Yes, it looks like a shoe, except
this
an ugly shoe.
I don't think it's going to be the next Murano. This is the next X-Trail.
You think so? No, yeah. I think it's Murano size.
It's too small. It's too small.
This is the vehicle you buy when telling girls that you're a virgin doesn't work for you.
Does that ever work?
No, it's just, you know, this is why you buy that car, because it's just a little bit more pathetic than you.
Oh. And on that note, BMW M. Six.
Speaking of pathetic people that buy cars.
BMW drivers?
No, not BMW drivers. Specifically M6 drivers. Mm. Because as great as this car looks, even, I hate the front end of the 6 Series, but it somehow looks better here. It's
really?
It's better. It's more aggressive. It's just sort of...
I like it.
I don't know. It's just...
Not bad, I guess.
It's more Z4M-ish.
My thing is, it's the whole M6, every year it's ever been out. Why would you get this over an M5?
Because you're a wanker.
It's just, I don't, maybe it's just because I don't get why people buy coupes, but it's just, it's not as good looking as the M5. It doesn't have that same sort of, you know, known quality.
I'm somewhat with you on that one, Stephen, and here's why. This car should have way more horsepower. This car should have in the 600 to 650 horsepower range.
For what, though? That's the thing. Well, for what?
This car needs to compete. It needs to be lighter, and it needs to be faster. It needs to compete directly with the 911 Turbo and Turbo S models.
I completely disagree with you.
BMW need this car to be with the FF and, you know, those cars. I mean, it just it needs to be better.
This is more of a personal luxury coupe.
Yeah, this is more of like a Jag XK. Yeah,
911 is a sports car.
Yeah, this is not.
The FF is the same thing as the M6 in that way. It's supposed to be the luxurious, everyday usable, you know, coupe with four usable seats, a usable trunk, and you know, this is what that is. I mean, this
right.
is.
Aaron looks very uncomfortable right now. He's very uncomfortable.
I don't know. I see where they're going with this. This is a Mercedes-Benz CL competitor.
Ew.
This is their personal luxury coupe. Yeah. The 6 Series.
It's a luxury.
This is the hot version of their personal luxury.
This is not a 911.
No, this isn't.
No, this is a CL63 AMG. Yeah. You know, Audi RS5.
Yes.
Yeah, but the CL63 is the CL in general is just a crap car. It's pointless.
Well, we could argue the semantics of personal German luxury coupes all day, but we have an infinity emergency.
Oh, we also have a BMW 5 M.
And we have less than 20 minutes.
We have an M550D xDrive, which should be coming to America. It is, think of like an M5 with a little less power, all-wheel drive, you know, a diesel engine, and just awesome. 376 horsepower, 546 pound-feet of torque.
Joshua.
Give me.
Would you drive an M diesel?
Yes. Mm. Hands down every day of the week. And when everybody laughed, mm-hmm. I would take their lunch money around every track in the world and then laugh while I take their pink slips, their crappy little jet.
You know what they call people who take people's lunch money?
Bullies.
Douchebags.
Exactly.
And you know what that turned into? The Infiniti Emerge.
This is emergency. You know what? I'm afraid Infiniti has made a better looking Acura NSX.
Yeah, you know what?
Thank
aside
you.
From the
well,
fact
no,
that
actually,
they're going to get a lawsuit from Lexus over that grill.
Yeah, but Infiniti had it first.
That's true.
But the thing is, they've got to do something because they cannot both have the same grill and they both have the same grill.
Right. What's really interesting, though, is I can't think of the last time that I heard someone say this at a show. Just the word around the press room in Geneva was, oh, my God, have you seen the Infiniti? Did you go see
I know,
the
right? How, what does that happen?
The Acura that they carved out of a block of soap and ran under hot water and all the edges.
It's
creased.
But
it's
pretty.
You guys, the
it's
back end
really
looks like an Altima coupe.
But it's got a 400 horsepower range extended powertrain.
Michelle, you and I are on the same page. This is ugly.
What?
This is just ugly. This is ugly. This is stupid. This will never be made. It is ugly. Look at that front end.
Yeah, well,
what
you're ugly and stupid and will never be made. He's still put up with you.
Steven, they already made him. He's been made.
Let's play nice now, kids.
This is just plain and simple, just
I don't understand how you can think this is in any way anything other than just gorgeous.
Get off my damn lawn.
Sure is all better than the Essence concept they had last year.
I didn't say it was ugly. I actually think it's really beautiful. I just think the back end looks like an Altima coupe.
You know, this is
the whole thing.
See, I think the back end looks like a Fisker Karma.
This is like Japanese style. This is a good-looking Japanese sort of that Japanese design.
There's no
language.
Such thing as Japanese style. They basically take it from other people. It's all, no, they do. They take cues from everything else. Every time they've tried to do a Japanese style car,
the Nissan Cube.
Well, they've done a couple concepts before. Everyone looks at it and goes, "All right, that's kind of boring."
All right, we got to move.
All right, we got to move.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I'll take you through these really quickly. So the Volkswagen Up is coming out in Europe this week. They're going on sale for real.
Whoa.
I think it looks like a baby that was born prematurely, like it has that funky shaped skull. But anyway, they have.
That baby is ugly.
They had the Swiss, which apparently had places for pocket knives. That kind of scares me. The Winter, which has places for your snowboards. The X, which. I don't know what they are. And then the Cargo, which is kind of self-explanatory.
Why do we need more Up concepts? Haven't they made like a dozen already?
This is like
SEMA for Volkswagen.
Or are they like multiplying because you fed them after midnight or something?
I think so. This is like the Sonic gone awry.
Ooh.
Sonic gonorrhea? What?
That sounds pretty serious,
Ben. You do not want
that.
Anyway, next up, Toyota FTBH. Now, this is Japanese design. Who did they steal this from, Aaron?
It looks like
no
a ship.
One.
Like it looks like a boat.
It looks like a fish.
Like it's sort of sticking really its ugly nose at you.
It looks like that Mercedes-Benz concept that they did a couple, the fuel cell concept that they did. It looks like a fishy thing.
Well, this thing is hinting at
remember the Mercedes plant? Fishy thing they did, the B yeah. something? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
B it's a big. It's just a fishy Prius.
It hints at their next generation hybrids, drag coefficient of 0.235.
You mean so the Prius?
Exactly.
Yes. Top speed. I can see Prius on this.
I can see Prius.
If this is what Toyota's design is going to, they just need to shoot all these guys now. Need to get it over with. Kamikaze these bastards.
Yeah, but you realize it could look like me, and they could put Prius on it, and it would still sell.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah, that's the problem. Have you seen the current line of Prius models?
What is that shelf, that lucite shelf that goes across there? Is that for you to, like, set your drink?
I think they are canard wing.
Josh, I believe the preferred term is Prii.
Prii, that's right. No, we'll talk about this episode.
Anyway,
it's got a 1-liter two-cylinder engine, Atkinson cycle, and a lithium-ion battery pack hybrid drivetrain, as you'd expect, 1,800-pound curb weight. Mm-hmm. Of course, it'll never make it into production at that level, but interesting that they tried.
You'll see it as a Prius.
All right, 10 cars, 15 minutes.
Really quickly, Mercedes-Benz SL63 AMG is, I'm just going to come out and say it, it is, first of all, massive, and it is ugly.
Look at that schnoz.
It is, you do not realize how big this car is until you see it in person.
She's a fatty.
It's absolutely massive. But,
it's an SL. What the hell else?
But 530 horsepower, 593 pound-feet of torque, or if you get the optional performance pack, 557 horsepower, and a massive 664 pound-feet of torque. It's going to be expensive and fast and ugly and, you know.
Isn't SL sportleicht?
What's weird is, and I've said this over and over again, the SL gets uglier with each generation. The last pretty SL was like the 2008 before it got the weird angular face.
And then I disagree. Yeah, I like the 09. Now there's this one. No.
They used to be such classically pretty, elegant roadsters, and now this just looks sort of.
Well, moving along. We can't dwell.
Okay.
Joshua.
Lotus is getting back into Le Mans racing in LMP2 series, which will not make a mark on anything because it's the P2 series. But it's a Lola chassis.
Hey, Josh, did you know that Autobytel actually used to sponsor the Lotus Racing Circuit?
Really?
I'm not kidding you. How cool is that?
That is actually pretty sweet.
We used to be cool.
That is pretty. Actually, that is pretty awesome. You've just jumped up even more points in my book. But it's kind of funny because for a long time, Lotus said they'd never go back to Le Mans racing. They are going back in the LMP2 class. I said series. I need to say class, which is kind of a crappy class. They need to be in P1 if they're going to do anything. BMW motor, which is a little weird. Lola chassis, but Lotus badges.
I've heard enough. Let's bring this. All this foreign crap is getting me down. We got to come back to the States. Good American car company, Aaron.
Ford Tourneo Custom.
Didn't take the bailout.
Ford Tourneo Custom. It's a front-wheel drive delivery van for overseas markets. Next.
What? Isn't there more?
No. Speaking of a front-wheel drive delivery vehicle for overseas markets, Michelle?
Yeah, so the club van showed up for Mini, and it looks exactly like the photos did on the press site.
It's a little van.
It's a miniature Cooper. Cool.
Clubman.
Miniature Cooper, Clubman. That you can load cargo items onto it.
I kind of like it.
Yeah,
it's a little. I mean, it's a little late to the class.
It is,
but I like it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. I think it's neat.
Looks like a Mini.
Well, next up, Tata made the show.
Ta-ta!
India.
Picture.
Wasn't she at the Mitsubishi move?
I don't know.
I think her name's Brandine.
With an eye and a heart over there.
Tata Megapixel Concept. This is their idea of a new mini car. 325cc single-cylinder engine. Charges up a 13-kilowatt-hour lithium-ion battery pack hybrid. Yes. Refill for trips longer than 54 miles. The engine will recharge the batteries. It gives it a theoretical range of 560 miles. This is what they think will be an affordable city car of the future. And it's not half bad looking, considering it's a Tata, builder of the Nanao.
All right, can we talk about my favorite car from the show real quick?
Okay.
Yes.
This was easily by far and large, the Fiat
500L?
Absolutely best in show. No. The BMW M135i. Let me tell you what. We all know that I love the 1M. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. So there's the new 1 Series in Europe. It's a 3-door and it's 5-door. And while it doesn't look great in base form, they've put a bunch of M performance kit on it. And it's just... I want it. I want it so bad.
How you feeling, girl?
It's my 1M, but it's a hatchback, and it's so pretty. Except the only difference is I want the wheels from the 1 Series M Coupe on this hatchback.
You know what's going to suck about this car?
Hmm.
Every time you walk up to it and go to get in it, you're just going to be so depressed. And then every time you drive it, you're going to go, oh, my God, but it's so fantastic.
I would never be depressed. But here's what's great is they're going to make it. It's been approved for production in rear drive and all-wheel drive form.
Ooh,
but unfortunately, because it's the 1 Series hatch that we don't get in the States, I'm going to have to move to Europe.
Will it be able to outrun its ugliness?
It's so cute.
Mm. I don't see it.
I realize the BMW fanboy otaku in here is pretty thick.
No,
but you know.
Because the 1 Series M Coupe is gone, this is the car that Michelle and I are going to use to run away forever together with.
Yes.
Could you run away in a Citroën DS3 Racing SL?
Is there room for a horse?
You can do a trailer with this bad boy.
Let me just say another amazing car that won't come to America. Mm. Now, this is a car this is a few months ago. I wrote an article about why Americans need to just get over their crap and start driving hot hatches and have fun and enjoy the fact that these little 3-door and 5-door cars are just awesome.
Hold on, Josh. I got to stop you right there. This is America. Why do we have to drive exactly what everyone else in the world drives? We have our own identity. We are a Christian nation.
Because it's good on gas, it's fast, it's fun, and the Citroën DS3 Racing is just a fantastic-looking car. It's cool. It's like a matte black thing with like a red roof with little gray blotches on it, like a flag.
Josh, pioneer spirit, manifest destiny. We are America. We are an exceptional nation.
Hey.
Yeah, well, and it's the Sebastian Loeb edition.
So let's talk about Fiat.
Ooh. Maybe for you, the 500 is a little too small. Eh?
No.
Maybe you need a little bit bigger 500. So you go here, they come to your Fiat dealer, they bring you this. It's a 500L. L means big. It's a Fiat Panda. But it don't look like a Fiat Panda. It don't look like a 500 either. But Steven, he does not like it.
I feel like Aaron is either trying to make me a pizza or get me to take a ride in his cab.
this
car is so ugly.
I don't think it's ugly. You know what I see?
So
you know what I see? I see the Renault 5.
It is so ugly.
Look at that. The side view. Look at that. This
you know
5?
What I see? A blind designer.
I see the
That's
roof
see.
Of a Mini Countryman.
It
Which
has
way?
6 lights in the front. I don't know why. It has 6. It's like an insect. It's got the square off wheel arch. It's not quite as ugly as the initial drawing made it to look, but it's coming to America. It's going to be at a Fiat dealer next to the 500 and the Abarth and the 500 Cabriolet. And maybe
let me guess. They're going to say they're going to sell 50,000 of these and only sell 50.
Maybe 5 or 6. He's nice. He's a nice guy. He's okay for you. Okay.
For you, I
By the way,
deal.
The badge on the back says 500, and it's got like an L through the last zero. That is like easily the dumbest badge I've ever seen. It's like 500L. It's like, you know, it's like
hate
in the middle of the
going
sentence.
To hate.
Michelle.
Yes.
Michelle.
Yes.
There's a SsangYong.
The SsangYong 14.2?
Yes, I guess.
No, it's actually the XIV2 concept because it's X for exciting.
Wait a minute. I just realized. Look at the front end. It's the Outlander.
It's very Outlander-y.
It's better.
But you know what? It's like the Outlander and the Trackster had a baby.
Mm-hmm. You know what, and though? Props to SsangYong for actually making something that looks kind of okay.
Right. I mean, they're a truck maker. And so I think that this is kind of a significant
it's
leap
like
for them.
It's like the GMC Granite.
Yes.
Indeed. Well, there you go. How do you like that?
All right, last car.
Last car is the Valmet Dawn. It is they're the company that I believe Finnish company that builds the Fisker Karma.
Yes.
And this little treat is basically a design study of theirs showing that they can put all these parts together on their own and make a, you know, electric vehicle. And here it is, the Dawn concept. It looks, very like, strange looking.
It's like a Tron light cycle sort of thing.
My only question is, does it work?
For no, what?
Does it blend?
Does it blend?
Yes. Mm.
No. Yeah. So
now here's the problem with
it. Talk about a fish. That looks like one of those that has like an eye on one side and lays on the bottom.
What's the thing on
a cuttlefish?
What's the thing on the
flounder?
Front end?
Yeah.
What's the thing on the front end? Does that try and hypnotize you to
it's
make
a time
you think
warp.
It's good looking?
Ben,
time
walk
warp?
Us through that modification.
First pothole that thing hits in Dearborn, it's going to be trashed.
You're going to be in the pothole with that thing.
It uses the force like Luke Speeder in Star Wars.
Oh, it levitates. Oh, it's a ground effect vehicle of sorts.
Oh,
it's an
Echronoplan.
Yes.
This is why I hate concept cars. This is why if you put out a concept car, I believe you should be shot. Just concept cars suck. Because we'll never see them. We'll see like one little tiny bit of the headlight, you know, somewhere on a car. I don't
Michelle,
care.
I hear you are clearly disagreeing with Josh, and that's fine. This is an open
floor.
There should be no concept cars. So basically, they're just born full grown.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah,
bro. Just show me the car. Show me the car.
Over the last 3 years or so, with the whole economic collapse of the American auto industry, we didn't have any concept cars in like the auto shows in America for like the last couple of years, and it's been boring as hell to go to these cars.
You know what?
It has not been boring to talk about the fact that a Chevy Camaro and the Dodge Challenger and the Nissan GTR actually look.
Everything that you can own, dude. What you're forgetting is there's an entire art behind design that they sometimes like to bring out the art to show people.
And frankly,
to show people something that will never be created, that can never be done, that will never be seen ever, besides just one time.
Because it's all an excerpt. Because it's not about the engineering underneath the hood, is it?
Monet did hundreds of
things. Way more going on.
Sometimes stuff just got to look pretty.
Like the Valmet Dawn.
Like me.
Yeah.
Or
like Ern.
Like Ern.
Anywho.
Ern.
So, but you guys, I think we have a show. I think we've wrapped up with 3 minutes, 40 seconds to spare. We've covered 60 cars in 90 minutes. We've done it. We have crossed the finish line. The marathon is complete.
That's exciting.
Congratulations. Round of applause for the panel. Round of applause for the panel.
Wow.
Yay. And those miles.
Car.
Good job, guy. Good hustle, team. We couldn't have done it without Aaron Bragman.
Are you
Bragman.
Slapping Aaron on the butt right now?
Aaron Bragman.
I don't think so.
How come I can't see anybody else's cams? I can see Michelle. It's the only one I see.
Are you
because
in the
they're all
chair.
Together in the room.
You got to go to the live
This is
stream.
Josh's first time.
roundaboutshow.com/live.
Well, no,
just stop right there.
I didn't know Stephen was there.
You just figured out Stephen's there?
He's in the room.
No,
I can touch him.
I figured he was at his house like he usually always
Aaron's
was.
Touching me.
I touched him.
2 minutes and 40 seconds. Hurry. Let's go.
Mr. Bragman, IHS Automotive.
Yes. Or visit one of our newer websites, www, which you must include, .hybrid-ev.com. It's for our business-to-business hybrid and EV business communications things. Yes.
Business.
Very interesting stuff.
Do you cover business?
Sometimes,
business.
Yes.
Business.
Thank you, Aaron, for your time. We do appreciate it. We've kept you a little longer than we normally try to, but we're at the home stretch here.
I don't turn into a pumpkin.
Appreciate it. Michelle Naranjo.
Yes, sir.
What is going on at the Auto Bitel?
The Auto Biddles. Well, I am busy writing my our favorite cars that come in green for our St. Patrick's Day festivities, which started off as 10 cars, and I think I'm up to about 24 now. Because
you know, last the only Irish car maker out there was DeLorean.
Can't stop.
Bragman has some important advice.
The only Irish car maker out there was DeLorean, or it would have been if he'd opened the bloody plant.
So when will your St. Patty's Day article run, Michelle?
I think we're launching it on Monday. And then I'm in New York next week for a GMC event that I don't know what it is.
I'll see you there.
You're coming?
I'm coming.
Yay! And then from there I go to South Carolina to drive the Infiniti JX.
I'll see you there too.
Holla.
What way have you gone?
I am I'm staying on wave one. I'm staying in New York and just going from
New York. Oh, my God. We're both on the same trips. That's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
Look at this networking. Look at that. Next up, Josh McLewis from RawAutos.com.
Hi. Go to RawAutos.com. Place to be.
I understand it's the place to be.
Duh.
Is raw autos safe to eat?
Raw or undercooked autos may be harmful to you.
Should you
45 seconds remain.
Oh, 45.
Well, we basically
it'll make you poop
the task,
badly.
Thank you, Josh, for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate
Mr.
it.
Mr. Ewing.
Hey.
How do you like it?
Like it.
Stuff from the automobile.
He hails from that place where we stole all the awesome galleries for this show.
That's what we do.
All right. Autoblog.com.
I don't like that language.
Borrowed. We borrowed them.
Yeah, you can't steal from us.
We drove traffic too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Plenty of traffic.
We're an ally.
Thanks, guys.
Well,
because why? They obsessively
cover the auto industry.
Mm-hmm. 90 cars in 2 days, all of our coverage at the
That's
Geneva
crazy.
Show. Five of us in Geneva rocking it out, and then we had the entire home team girding their loins.
We're dying! We're dying!
We've succeeded in our mission of covering 60 cars in 90 minutes. So, Ben, you can just hit the snooze button.
Okay.
That's what I did.
It'll start again in 9 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Ewing, for your time. It is a pleasure to have you. Yeah.
Pleasure to be here.
He's back to his good old depressed self again. We did it! He was on 2 weeks in a row.
Can you play the owl noise for me again?
Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
It's the enunciation on the bitch part. Son of a bitch.
That's a radio voice.
I think right now this is more fitting for Steven, but how he feels.
Don't put me on no plane, Hannibal.
What?
Don't put me on no plane, Hannibal.
I have no idea what that's from.
That's Mr. T.
That's
from
the Jeff.
Game.
Come on. Our good friend
B.A.
Baraka. Jeff?
Ross.
Jeff Ross.
Jeff, I'm sorry, who?
How about this again?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah. All right. Ben Sanders, we got to thank you. We would not have a program if
no
it weren't for the Colonel.
No problem.
Colonel? Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.
He's How the are things down the show. There?
Yeah. Yeah, modify. I'm just trying to wrap up the show here.
All right. Well, let's do it. Remember, you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening when we're broadcasting, starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 3:30 on the West Coast. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline This Week, Autoline Daily, and, of course, Autoline After Hours. Aaron, do you check those out regularly?
Oh, absolutely.
You should.
I do.
Good.
Yes.
If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, you can subscribe. We're on, iTunes or Twitter. And there are also a variety of other ways to get us. Certain smartphones allow you to download the episodes directly, or you can
Stitcher.
Stream them over a app called Stitcher. Very convenient. In fact, that's what you do for a lot of podcasts.
I do. I love it.
And most Fords, you can do all of this while you're driving now.
Exactly. Yeah, convenient. Yeah. But if you do use iTunes, we ask that you please rate us. There's a little star rating. Tell us what you think. We'd love to hear from you. Love the feedback, good or bad. You can also leave a little sentence or two. We would love to hear that as well. What else? Twitter. If you want to follow us, get involved. We're at twitter.com/roundaboutshow. Of course, on Facebook, too. Facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Pretty easy to find us if you're having trouble. Just give a search-a-roo. You'll find us. Another important announcement. We are off next week. Ben is a quitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's his birthday next week, so he's taking Friday off.
Ben's going to be I'm 30, leaving. Y'all.
And I may not return.
So Ben,
be
enjoy
warned.
Your day off. Enjoy your Friday off.
You get a Friday off, too. Be happy.
Oh God.
What are you going to do?
Sleep. Cry. Eat. All of the above.
So a typical weeknight.
Yeah, pretty much.
Typical weeknight, yeah.
But you'll have a party hat on.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, me.
Something tells me it involves a bottle of Everclear.
Yeah. Wash away my problems.
It's a good solvent.
Wash away the years.
It goes well with tears.
He's going to be how many years old?
30!
Yeah.
When
so
do you turn 30, Michelle? not for some time. Oh. Not for some time, I expect.
I know, right?
No.
I expect. That's funny. Anyway,
my therapist says I'm 24 still, so.
We have come full circle, folks. We've got to wrap this up. But thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again the week after next as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.